Feels good in the Lord's house today. We're going to do this again. Choir's at 5:15, an apostolic prayer meeting at 6 o'clock, and then we'll have a service at 6:30, and we'll have a time. We'll hoot and holler for all those that we missed this morning, and again, for the Lord. Praise God. We're continuing a study in the 64th Psalm. We're making our way through the Old Testament, and we're in the Psalms. And Psalm 64 we started with on Wednesday evening, and we'll pick up where we left off there. Psalm 64 and 1 for a text tonight, this morning. This is the heart of this particular psalm. And would everyone say, "Hear my voice, O God, in my prayer. Preserve my life from fear of the enemy." Praise the Lord. God bless you. You can be seated. Why don't you give him praise and thanks for his word? Lift up a voice and a hand clap of praise for his word, forever settled in the heavens. We thank you, mighty God, for your word, unchanging, immutable, for your word, life-giving and sustaining. We praise you for it, and we bless your name. Praise God. And David praised the prayer, "Hear my voice, O God, and preserve me from fear of the enemy." Not from my enemy, but from fear of the enemy. Keep me from being afraid from that enemy. Help me, God. And we know that David understands, and Abram understood, and all of the patriarchs and these leaders, these apostolic leaders from Acts all the way to the book of Revelation, they understood the concept that the power of the enemy doesn't matter, and the power of my adversary is not relevant, and the circumstance and the trial and the pit or the prison or the lies of Potiphar's house, none of those things matter about the dream of God, the vision of God, the power of God, or the bringing forth of potential in the life of God's people. The only thing that really matters is my response. The only thing that really matters is your response. What the devil has to say won't make a bit of difference in the end. What the enemy conjures up won't make a difference in the end. What my friends and my enemies have to say, it won't matter in the end. But what matters is what I do with what God's placed in my hand. Say praise the Lord. And so David prays, "God, preserve me from fear of my enemy." Because fear can be a paralyzing influence in your life. And we see and hear throughout the scripture this mantra where God is encouraging his people not to be afraid. Fear not. And he boils it or distills it to this point. He says, don't be afraid concerning someone that can kill your body, but fear him that can take both body and soul and cast them into hell. He said, here's the bottom line, and the writer of Ecclesiastes in chapter 12 of Ecclesiastes, he summarizes it. He said, here's the whole duty of man. Fear God. Keep his commandments. You want to be afraid of something, you be afraid of God. If you're afraid at night, you be afraid of this, that I haven't fulfilled the will of God. If you want something to tremble about this. I'm going to stand before God one day. If you want something to be neurotic about whether or not I've crossed the T's and dotted the I's and I'm right with God. And I'm going to make sure that I've left everything done and nothing left undone. If you want to have a restless night, have a restless night about what might happen if you don't serve God with all your heart. But I'm telling you, there is nothing else in this world to be afraid of. Once I've got it right with God, there is nothing else to be afraid. Come on now. Once I've got it right with God, there's nothing else that I have to be afraid of. Praise God. You say, well, they could take your life. I've already got a word from the book that tells me don't be afraid. They might take your life, but there's one that can take your life, soul and body, and cast it into hell. Praise God. The word of God's very casual about death. The word of God is not concerned about death other than overcoming death by overcoming sin, because death is a product of sin. And that's the concern of the scripture. But you take a guy like Moses, God takes him and walks with him on the mountain and says, you're going to die today. Come, let me show you what the vision of the rest of it's looking like. takes him to the top of the mountain on the day that he's going to die. His friends are gone. His enemies are dead. He's outlived them all. His job is gone. Everything that defines a man in Moses' case is over. And God said, let me show you another vision. The vision of God never stops. Death does not stop the vision of God in your life. You don't even get it. If you think this temporal house and the end of the destruction of this temporal house is the end of you, you don't even begin to understand who you are or who God is or what heaven is about or what redemption is about. It's not about what happens in this life. It's about what happens on the other side and for eternity. Praise God. The scripture said, and we're just doing a little review right now. The writer of Hebrews said they were in bondage all their lives because of the fear of death. The fear of death will keep you in bondage all your life. Worried about holding on to something that you don't have any power to hold on to. Being careful with something you don't have power. Somebody tell me, who directs my path? And who orders my steps? Now listen, if you don't belong to God, if you're not filled with the Holy Ghost and baptized in Jesus' name, you're not in the covenant today, you ought to be in this altar before the service is out. Because none of these principles necessarily apply to you. But if I belong to God and God's directing my path and God's ordering my course and God's numbering my days, and I give him light work, but the Bible said he numbers the hairs of our head. God can take a day off on some of us. But if God's that interested and God's that concerned and God watches my path, I want you to know this. You've got to get this. If you've ever studied Job or you have any understanding of how spiritual things move or the dynamic relationships of spiritual authority, you know nothing can touch the people of God unless God says yes. And if God says yes, it's for my good. With Job, the devil said, I can't get to him. You got a hedge about him. But if you'll let the hedge down, I'll touch him. And then he'll curse you. And God says, go get him. He could not touch him until God said yes. The devil is a dog on a long chain. He can't go any further than God allows him to go. What does that have to do with fear? My God, God is with me every day, every step of my journey. You get the victory over fear, you can walk in the Holy Ghost. And we're just reviewing. Praise God. He goes through a litany in the book of Isaiah. Fear not, I'm with you. Fear not, I am for you. Fear not, I have redeemed you. Fear not, thou worm Jacob. He said, I know all of your inadequacies. I know all your flaws. I know you're just a worm. But he said that affectionately. He loved Jacob. He said, Jacob have I loved. It's Esau that I hate. Esau who's able all by himself. Esau who's got everything he needs. Esau who doesn't need God. He just needs his control and his turf in this world. He said, that's what I hate. But Jacob, with all of his failings, Jacob I love. Praise God. He said, fear not, thou worm, Jacob. Praise God. He knows all of our weaknesses, but he counsels us, don't be afraid. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Turn to your neighbor and tell them, Jesus promised, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Do you believe it? Well, then, no, that's a question you got to ask your neighbor there. Do you believe it? Then the next question is, if you believe that, then why are you afraid? If you believe Jesus is with you, why? Don't be afraid of a knock on the door. He's going to answer the door with you. Don't be afraid of something that goes bump in the night. He's got rule over everything that goes. Lay that pretty head down and get yourself some rest. Because the word of God is true. God is faithful. Praise God. Praise God. And there's this continued strain of reassurance throughout the word of God. Angels appear, and the first thing out of their mouths, fear not. Jesus appears, and the first thing out of his mouth, fear not. Because we just are inherently afraid. Fear has its seat down in the darkness of our beginnings from the garden. Fear begins at sin. Adam and Eve are not afraid, and the animals are not afraid in the Edenic first dispensation. But then when they sin, it's in that third chapter, immediately they hide from God. And in explanation, they said, we heard your voice and we were afraid. It was after sin. Fear's tied up with you. I'm telling you, sin is the birthplace of your fear. You mean I'm afraid because I'm awful and I'm a sinner and I'm not pleasing God? No, it's just in all of us. It's in our flesh. It begins, it's not you and your particular sin. It's about mankind's fallen nature and the Adamic nature and our sin that is inherent in our fallen Adamic nature. And it comes up from the same dark recesses as all of that sin nature. But fear is a part of that primal beginning. And it's not what God intended. And it's not healthy. And it works against your faith. And it works against your victory. And it makes you deny the promise of God. And God promises peace, but you're anxious. And God promises joy, but you're worried. And so it wars. It's the antithesis of the promise of God in your life. Fear's got to go if you're going to walk in joy. Fear's got to go if you're going to walk in peace. And Jesus said the kingdom of God's not meat and drink. It's not natural physical things. It's not the process of the tabernacle and the law and all that. He said it's peace and joy and righteousness in the Holy Ghost. Two-thirds of the kingdom of God are peace and joy. You can't have that with fear moving in your life. Somebody say praise the Lord. The essential fear is fear of death, fear of non-form, fear of non-being. We see it clearly in the demons and the pigs in the story of the demoniac of Gadara. And Jesus is going to cast them out. They don't want to go out into the nothing and be formless and without definition. They say, let us go on these pigs. And so Jesus let them go on the pigs, and the pigs had better sense than the demoniac. They ran off the cliff and drowned themselves because of the presence of the demon. But you see the energy of that desire to have form or definition. You see it around you every day. You see people living in defined forms of life that are appalling to you. And you say, how could they live that way? Why do they live that way? Why do they make those choices? And why, once they're relieved of that, do they go back again and again to those choices? It's the only definition they know. It's the only form they're familiar with. They can't break away from the house of the familiar. They can't break away from the defined forms that were planted in their mind as a youngster. Those things become strongholds in their minds, and they repeat those things. She goes back to an abusive husband. He goes back to an abusive bartender. They all go back to the crack house. They continue to walk in other areas beside the will of God. Because that's what defined them so long. And there's this tremendous fear of leaving your current definition, no matter how bad it is. House of the familiar. Fear of lack of definition, or fear of lack of form. That's the basis. It's a fear of death, but it's a fear of formlessness. Wandering, that's what the demons didn't want to do. Don't send us out into the deep. Don't know what's out there. Here's some pigs. Come live for God. Well, I don't know what that is. Does it look like what I'm used to? No, it's going to revolutionize your life. It's going to change you. It's going to give you a whole new spiritual address. It's going to cause you to walk differently and talk differently. And you're going to have new friends, and your old friends are going to be your enemies. And it's going to turn you upside down. Don't think that he came to bring peace. He came to bring a sword. Praise God. Praise God. And in our choosing, as we come to God, we make choices to be defined not by circumstances and not by previous experiences or generational things that have been passed down by grandparents and parents, but we choose to be defined by the Word of God. Praise God. We're not afraid of losing definition. People die, but it doesn't affect my definition. I'm defined by the Word of God. life changes. I lose a job. I lose a career. I lose a position. I have to be in a different city. I lose things. But it doesn't change me because I'm not defined by where I live or who I live around. I'm defined by the Word of God. I'm just talking about these are the choices that we make when we choose to come live for God. Praise God. And because of that, we're not afraid because the Word of God never changes. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Well, preacher, that sounds like a lot of bravado, and you let some horrible thing happen to you, and you'll be scared. You'll be trembling under that bald pate of yours. Well, the Word of God encourages us not to be afraid. Praise God. And as we try to encourage our children, so God encourages us. And as we try to comfort our children, so God tries to comfort us. And as our children resist the perfect logic of our explanation about alligators under the beds and monsters in the closet, we resist God's perfect word of consolation. It's gonna be all right. It's gonna be all right. Turn to your neighbor and say, I've got a promise from my Father. It's gonna be all right. I know beyond a doubt, He's gonna bring me out. Come on, you need to be singing to your neighbor. I've got a promise from my Father, it will be all right. Somebody say, I've got a feeling everything's gonna be all right. Oh, I've got a feeling everything's gonna be. That's right. Oh, I've got a feeling everything's
gonna be all right.
Sang. Be all right.
Be all right.
Be all right. I may not have the use of my legs, but I'm gonna have a brand new body. Oh, I may not lift my hands in praise, but the promise says I'm gonna get new ones that'll never go. Come on, somebody. You gotta get on the right side. Start singing the new song. If Brother Jimmy can sing the song, what are you doing with the molly grubs today? If Brother Jimmy can sing that song, what are you doing with that frown on your face? My God. There's some places you just don't go. Some things you don't say is holy, hallowed ground. And I just got to kind of bow down here. This man's singing that song all by himself. I'm singing a song, but he's singing with power. Praise God. Praise God. Because once I understand the ultimate knowledge is with God, the ultimate answer is with God. The ultimate and perfect perspective is the perspective of the Word of God. Amen. Everything else is just noise in the background, static, interference. But I hear the Word of God clearly. Job looks at the face of death and all his detractors and his wasted life and everything around him. He said, I don't have the slightest idea, fellas, but I know this. He knows where I'm going. He knows the way that I go. And he said, I know that in the last days, my Redeemer is going to stand upon this world. You may not see him right now. He may not be in the middle of this chaos right now, but I know in the last days, he's going to stand here. And he said he's going to raise me up in that last day. And he said, though the worms devour my body in this flesh, I'm going to see him. And he said, I'm going to see him for myself, not another. I won't have to hear it from somebody else. I'm going to see him for my. You hear what he's saying? Do you hear what he's saying? Do you understand what the man is saying? He's looking down the barrel of death. He's looking down the barrel. Everything in his life has been crushed. And he said, God knows, and that's good enough for me. He said, I've got a promise. Whatever happens to this body and to this life, God is going to raise me up in the last. Listen, tell your neighbor now, the payoff's not here. Don't judge God by what happens to you here. The payoff's on the other side. Come on, the payoff is in eternity. This is just the process. This is just the sojourn. This is just a passing through. Praise. Don't let this undermine your faith. Nobody's going to get out of here alive. Praise God. Unless you're still alive at the rapture. And that'll be the exception. I'm still reviewing. 1 John 4:18. Fear hath torment. Fear makes you miserable. Fear paralyzes you like the lion's roar. Praise God. Fear in and of itself. Now, we talked about it Wednesday night, how at the end of the book of Revelation, he says, and the fearful and the abominable and sorcerers and whoremongers, they're going to all have their part in the lake of fire. He lumps the fearful in there. God, I'm afraid, but I'm not a whoremonger. God, I'm afraid, but I'm not a witch. Why are you sending me to hell with all of that? Well, it's not that you feel fear that makes you wrong in God. It's that you do fear. It's that you are inactive because of fear, because you're paralyzed. It's what you do or you fail to do because of the influence of fear in your life. For a healthy, reasonable person never, ever to feel fear is a little psychotic. I mean, that little laugh right there. Ronnie, do that again. I mean, do that laugh again. I brought my grandpa's 44. I'm going to put it under your nose. This is kind of like parent training. Now laugh. I'll give you something to laugh about. And he's still laughing. Well, obviously the man's imbalanced. You know, anybody's got respect for the business end of a big gun. But we walk and we act and we're proactive and we respond and we do based on the word of God, not based on fear. I would serve God, bud. I would obey the word of God, bud. I would step out in faith, bud. And there's where the fearful take part with the whoremongers and the unbelievers and the sorcerers and all of those things are going to have their part in the lake of fire. You got to stand up in the midst of your fear. Take a deep breath, and that's what faith is. Faith is not never feeling fear. Faith is stepping up in the middle of the consequences and the circumstances and all the pressure around you and still doing the right thing, saying yes to God and no to fear. You can walk in places where you can smell fear. And I don't know how to tell you what it smells like, but I've smelt it. I've seen the varmint. But that doesn't, because you feel that or smell that, because terror reaches out and touches you, that doesn't determine your destiny. What determines your destiny is what you do with it. Praise God. Praise God. Two people walk through the same circumstance and respond totally differently. It has to do with their mindset. Has to do with the strongholds in their mind. But as you conquer fear, Wednesday night we talked about Red Adair and we talked about Chuck Yeager and the fact that in some crucial battles in history where opposing armies were evenly matched, that the victory was won simply by the fact that who blinked first, who began to run first, who laid down their arms first, because there wasn't any real measure of consequence to show difference between the two, but somebody had a little bit more courage. Somebody had a little bit more moxie than the other did. And it's determined the nation's history. Praise God. We talked about Peter that cursed, denied Jesus three times, But there in that fourth chapter of Acts, he's under the gun from the Sanhedrin, the same Sanhedrin that crucified Jesus. But he's a different man now. He's filled up with the Holy Ghost. And he said, I want you to know all we can testify to is what we've seen and what we've heard. And you need to understand this. There is no other name given among men under heaven whereby we must be saved. Praise God. Different man, different persona. Holy boldness down on the inside of him. Praise God. It matters what I do in the face of fear. Now, we're going to move in a little different direction here. I want us to look, Peter, at Psalms 23. And we're going to take a little stroll through the Psalms and some very comforting and confidence-building scripture this morning. The word of God is true. Everybody say, praise the Lord. It's established in the heavens. It's never changing. It's life-giving. It is the word of God. Heaven and earth will pass away, but the word of God will never pass away. Does anybody in the house believe that today? Listen, the earth is going to be burned up with fervent heat. The heavens will be rolled up like a scroll. Is there anybody that believes that the word of God is going to endure forever? The world passes away and all that is in it. But they that love and obey the word of God, they're going to live forever. Now, that's where my anchor has to be. That's where my hope is. That's my reference point. That's my north star. Psalms 23, everybody shout, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. All right, now we just put to bed every worry about money and every worry about jobs and every worry about the stock market and every... Come on, the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord, I'm not just out here wandering. It's God that's leading me. I'm not lost in some wilderness where I don't know which end is up. God is my shepherd. Shake your neighbor, if you believe it, shake your neighbor and say, the Lord is my shepherd. I'm not lost. I'm not worried. God's not in trouble. I shall not want. Because if I've got God, I've got enough. If I've got God, I've got enough. I've got everything I need. We're running about 20% here. Some of you are shouting in faith. Praise God. Do you believe this? He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. God knows what I need. God's got a plan for my life, and we're on our way. Now, again, if you're not in the kingdom of God, you've never been filled with the Holy Ghost, evidenced by speaking in tongues, you've never been baptized in Jesus' name for the cleansing of your sin, I wouldn't leave this house today before I got my name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I wouldn't leave today before I was down in this altar, because none of these promises, these are not promises that are just generic to mankind. These are covenant promises. Brother Randy is an insurance man. He's a rep. He can fix you up for your house, for your car, for your boat, for your life. Free advertisements, what this is. He can hook you up. But don't call him if you don't have a contract. I don't mean he can hook you up after the storm or hook you up after the wreck or hook you up after the trouble. Can't do it. Why? Even if you love him, you love Brother Warren? Does he have a policy with you? Oh, wrong guy. You love Brother Richard? Does he have a policy with you? Let's do this a short form. Who in here does not have one with you?
This brother right here.
All right. Do you love Brother Edward? Well, how about that? How is it that you've come this far? This is like the wedding feast and you don't have a garment on, man. How is it that you've come here with no contract? You love him. Nice guy. He calls you the day after the wreck and starts singing, cover me, cover me. And what do you tell him? He hadn't paid the price within the effective date. My word. The effective date being as long as you're breathing and living before the judgment. But for him, it's before the accident, before the tragedy, before the problem. He can't cover you no matter how. And I want you to know, God wants to cover you. You know how much he wants to cover you? God came to Calvary. God let them nail him on a cross. He let them rip a beard out of his face and plunge a spear in his side and spit in his face and slap him around. God loves you, but he can't cover you unless you have paid the premium before the effective date. You talking about money? No, I'm not talking about your money. I'm talking about your life. You got to come give your life to God. That's the premium. Praise God. Or he can't cover you. So all these things that we're talking about, 23rd Psalm, David is a Jew. He's in the contract. These things are not applicable to Moabites and Canaanites and people that are outside the covenant. You mean God doesn't love the whole world? He died for the whole world, but the whole world's not going to heaven. Most of them are going to hell. Why? Because they're not in the covenant. They haven't paid the price by the effective date. Praise the Lord. All right. Everybody say, he restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. I want everybody that's walking in the will of God right now, lift up your hand. If you're walking in the will of God, doesn't mean you're perfect. Just means you're doing what God's told you to do. All right. And out of all of you that just raised your hand, are you convinced that God is leading you? If you're convinced that God is leading you, lift up your hand. And then wave it and praise him. Thank you, God, for leading me. Thank you, God, for leading me. Praise God. I'm just going to land right up in the middle of your life. But Katrina can't come to your house unless God says yes. And again, this is holy ground here. I'm just talking, but I've never had my house blown away. I never got transferred to Amherst, Massachusetts, and then to Birmingham, Alabama, like some kind of a cosmic ping pong ball blown away by Katrina. That never happened to me. So I'm real careful about their situation, but it's still the word of God. And that can't happen to you if you're in the will of God. That can't happen to you unless God says yes. And if God says yes, he does it on purpose. God doesn't do things harum scarum here and there. God does things on purpose. He's got a purpose in your life. He's got a reason in your life. And if there was revival, there'll be greater revival. And if there was blessing, there'll be greater blessing. And if there was goodness, there'll be greater goodness. Somebody that believes that, say amen. I might walk through a valley, but it's a valley that God led me into. I might walk under the shadow of an enemy, but God's going to give me everything I need to defeat that enemy. Come on, clap your hands, lift your voice. Come on, somebody ought to get on the right side of that and shout about it just a little bit. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. My continual prayer for this church, God, lead us into holiness, lead us into righteousness. There's a powerful pulse in our world that hates righteousness and holiness. But he's not even doing that for your sake. He's doing that for his name's sake. He's leading you so that his name will be lifted up and glorified. It's not about you. Come on, look at your neighbor and say, it's not about you. Come on, it's not about me. It's not about what it costs me. It's not about how much it hurts. It's not about what I have to walk through. It's about glorifying his name. And you've got to get on the winning side of that. You've got to say, wherever he leads me, I'll follow. Wherever he leads me, I want to go there. Wherever he calls me to walk in, that's where I want to go. Come on. Well, praise God for his name's sake. I don't know why. We've got a lot of questions to ask when we get on the other side. A lot of things we've been through we don't understand. A lot of things we walk through that we can't comprehend. But I trust him. I trust him. I know that God is able. Somebody say, I know God is able. He's leading me today in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And let me tell you something. It's not about you. He'll lift you up, but let me tell you, it's about his name. And he's not going to let you fall because of his name. No, you got to hear that. As long as he holds up his name, you're going to be in a safe place. Well, praise God. Praise God. I'm not afraid. God's leading. I can go to sleep. God's driving. I can get all the rest I need. God's in control. I don't have to keep checking the map. God knows exactly where we're going. I don't have to worry about Tuesday. Now, have a plan. Have a plan. Have a goal. have a vision. You'll perish otherwise. Don't make me qualify everything. But I don't have to worry about Tuesday because God's already been there. He stands outside of time. He's already got his hand in Tuesday. The word of God said he's prepared those things for me from the foundation of the earth. Tuesday's been ready for me ever since there was an earth to be walking in. My God. Not worried. Verse 4. Peter, thank you. Everybody say yay. Now, some of you would be afraid to shout about this for fear that somebody would hear and decide to test you. You know, just be careful in church. Don't offend the devil and don't challenge God and don't make some boisterous vow that you have to pay. Because David said you need to pay your vows before the Lord. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Amen. And that's down at the base level of the whole business. They were in bondage all their lives because of a fear of death. When you find a man or a woman that's not afraid to die, it's a scary thing. I have a brother that drives like that. But when you find somebody that's intrepid because they're just not afraid, the devil says, and he starts at the top and comes down. But once you've settled the business of death, there's nothing he can wave at you that's going to move. Paul said, none of these things move me. He said, I'm not moved by any of these things because I've already got it resolved. I know where I'm going to spend eternity. So what are you going to do to me? I'm already crucified. What are you going to do to me? I've already said goodbye to the world. What are you going to take from me? I already know none of us are going to stay here. I know none of us are going to get out of here alive. I'm not trying to hold on to something I can't hold on to. What are you going to threaten me with? He said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'm not going to fear any evil because I know who's walking. If I'm walking through the valley, then I know God's with me. I know God led me. I know God sent me. And he is with me. Everybody say, God is with me. Turn to your neighbor and say, if God be for us, who can be against us? My God, that's not just a rhetorical question. You need to answer that. If God's for you, who can be against you? Well, nobody. There's nobody big as God. There's nobody strong as God. There's nobody as powerful as my God. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. I got him by the hand. My God, the devil better watch out, because me and God are coming through the valley. The devil better watch out. The enemy better. Come on, somebody needs to get on the side of this, the winning side of this, and shout a little bit about it. I'm not going to be afraid of that. Amen. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Now, this is using the imagery of the shepherd with the rod and the staff, and he aligns the sheep and helps the sheep to come and crooks them around the neck and draws them close. But the rod and staff of God is the word of the living God. His word comforts us in the middle of every situation, in the middle of every adverse situation. The psalmist wrote and said, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. Whenever I'm afraid, God, I'll just get a hold of God is my security blanket. God is my comforter. God is my strength. What time I am afraid, I'll trust in God. Praise God. His rod, his staff, they comfort me. Praise God. Verse 5, Brother Peter. Who's got an encounter with enemies right now? Spiritual enemies or the pressure of life? Something's encamped round about you right now that's okay. I want you to say that. He prepares a table for me in the presence of my enemies. God, we got to do something. All right, let's sit down and eat. God, I'm feeling pressed. Boy, God sounds apostolic. Well, what are we doing? Let's eat. Let's have a business meeting. Let's eat. Let's have a fellowship. Let's eat. What are you doing after church? Let's eat. And that little song, and we grow. He prepares a table for me in the presence of my enemies. Not a picture. Can you picture a battlefield in your mind strewn with darkness and bodies, maybe some lightning and thunderheads in the horizon, and all the chaos and the torn earth of an active battlefield, smoke just kind of drifting in like fog. And there's this beautiful white linen tablecloth covering a table, and it's got a little bit of everything in the whole world that you could ever want on it. And oh, beaten and bloodied and harried and dirty warrior comes and sits down, and the battle's raging around you. But God's not concerned. God's not concerned. He said, let's have some fellowship. Let's me and you have some fellowship. That's what this is about. In the presence of my enemy, I have fellowship with God. Sit down and sup. He said, if you'll open up, I'll come in and we'll have supper. That's what he said. We'll sup together. Praise God. In the middle of this kind of condition, I want to let him in. And in doing so, he anoints my head with oil. A fresh anointing. When I let him in the middle of the trouble, a fresh anointing will come. And my cup will run over. Would you lift your hands right now? Just love him for a little bit. Just bless his name. Praise God. I know some of you are shell-shocked right now, and life is like a bus that's just run over your whole house. But in the presence of my enemies, God set up the table. Come on in, God. I'm opening up the door. Lord, come in and fellowship with me. Praise God. Praise God. Glory to God. Anoint my head with oil, oh God. Cause my cup to overflow, oh God. Hallelujah. 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 This is that principle of you don't want to get rid of all your sin and all before you come to God. You don't want to labor under that misconception, because you can't do that. You have to come to God first. You have to get into the presence of God to get something done about your human condition. And so, and people tend to, when they get together, create a caste structure of value, who's more important or less important, and who has greater or lesser value as a person. And doing so, they want to put on their striped shirt and get their whistle and be a referee about who can come to God, or who can be in church, or who can worship God, or who is worthy. And that's a chump question, because nobody's worthy. Because nobody's ever been or ever will be worthy. It's about his worthiness. And so we worship him. And we get ourselves into the presence of God to get something done about our situation. Now, this business is really full of insight. It's the same concept, but he said, when I'm in the presence of my enemies, when you're sitting in the middle of church and business and pressure and money and social things and family things and work and all of that is just crushing the life out of you. And you might go through the motions, but you're not there. You're on another planet. You're in the presence of your enemies. But when you're in the presence of your enemies, you've got to bring all that chaos and all that clutter and all that noise into the presence of God. You've got to open the door. He'll come in. He'll sup with you. He'll anoint your head with oil. He'll cause your cup to overflow. Amen. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, I can't go to church. I got too much on my mind. I can't worship. I got too much on my mind. I can't really get involved in the service. I got too much. No, that's backward thinking. That's like I've got to get perfect before I come to God. Bring the chaos into the presence of God. Lay it down on an altar and give a workshop in praise and worship. Find yourself some time for prayer. Say, God, come on in here and spread a table for me in the presence of my enemy. Praise God. Verse 6. Praise God. Everybody say, surely. Now, how many true neurotics do we have in the house today? Oh, you almost raised your hands, Bridget. Let's see, you're leaving a dark room, and all of a sudden you get a case of the royal heebie-jeebies, and you've got to run out of that room because you can feel it closing in on your spine. You're coming up a staircase out of a dark room, and you feel that same feeling. It's like, I will walk slowly in measured steps. I will not run. But you feel it. The boogers are back there. You feel them back there. You're a little neurotic. Praise God. You feel like something following you. Now, how many of you see a police car and you just feel guilty? Paranoia. Like looking in your rearview mirror and seeing a police car. And you hadn't done anything lately. But it's your past. And you got a feeling that something's following you. Some of you feel like your unworthiness follows you. And that somebody's going to find out about it. Even though you're in a supervisory position right now. And you got to depend on Brother Cedric to help you remember how to work. In a supervisory position. But some days you feel like a fraud because you know you're not worthy or adequate. And you think somebody's going to find out about that. I'm not really just talking to you, Brother Travis. You feel like your past is following you. Your inadequacy is following you. Your worthlessness is following you. But the Bible said it's goodness and mercy back there. Next time you feel that screaming heebie-jeebie behind you, say, oh, it's goodness and mercy. Come on in here, fellas. Let's get a hug. Goodness and mercy are following me. The next time you see a police car, you say, you know, if he stopped and talked to me, he'd know how good and how merciful the kingdom of God is. Come on, you got to get over on the winning side of this. You can't let your paranoia follow you. Your failures follow you. Some of you feel like a fraud in the house of God. You feel like a fraud in the house of God because you're worshiping and praising God and you're all dressed up and you're in the house, but down in your heart of hearts, you know how you are and you know how easily you're tempted and you know what goes through your mind and you hear the devil's voice saying, oh, if you were really a child of God, you'd never feel that. You'd never think that. And you feel like a fraud. Let me tell you something. This is all about the blood. And it's all about goodness. And it's all about mercy. And anything that's following you, it's got to contend with the goodness and the mercies of God. You know what's behind me? Nothing. It's under the blood. God doesn't remember anything about it. Somebody say praise the Lord. Praise God. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm not afraid. God is my shepherd. We're going to have to work on this a little bit more tonight. Let's stand up together. Come on, give him praise. I want somebody to lay hold of their fear right now and begin to talk to it and say, God is in control. And God, come on, talk to it. God is leading me. And God is in charge of my life. And God is my shepherd. And God is leading me into righteousness. Well, praise God. Praise God. Shake your neighbor's hand and tell him, you don't have to worry. And don't you be afraid. Praise God. Let's lift up our hands and bless him. Come on. Hallelujah. 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 The altar's open right now. If you'd like to come and just put a dagger in the heart of those things that are fearful for you, those things that are troubling you, come on down to this altar and lay them on the altar and open your mouth and say what the word of God has said. Let the rod and the staff of God comfort you. If it's want, say, God is my shepherd. I shall not want. If it's fear of something man can do, what shall I fear that a man can do? God is on my side. God is my father. God is my refuge. God is my strong tower. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Mighty God. Come on, if you're a visitor here, come make yourself at home. Come on down to this altar. We want you down here with us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't you find somebody to lay your hand on, somebody to take by the hand. Lift up your face to God and just begin to sing. Hallelujah. Sing, sing. God has all authority in heaven and earth. The name of Jesus is a strong tower. blood of Jesus covers every sin. The word of God is a fortress against all those things that would hinder you. One person right there by you now. I want you to pray for them that every fear would be allayed. If you have to be a third wheel, do that. Give them strength and courage. Give him praise and worship. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, give him good praise. High praise. Choir's at 5:15, prayers at 6. We're so glad to see all of our guests.